personal sacrifice for the work of God. Many people are naive concerning the Word of God, because they fail to give homage to God's Word concerning sacrifices. We receive spiritual blessings when He asks us to give a sacrificial offering, and we give it to Him by faith. God chose some of us to be an example to others for sacrificial giving. Let us observe the dynamic faith of a poor widow woman who gave. Jesus revealed to His disciple concerning the poor widow woman who gave the most. Many thought the rich had given more. He indicated that she gave more than all the rich people who gave in the offering of God. St. Mark 12:41-44, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in, than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Currently, two mites, which make a farthing, are approximately half of a penny. The widow woman gave the greatest offering. Jesus observed her offering and said that she gave exceedingly more than all the rich people who gave, because it was all she had. She was an example for all those who give all of their living to support the work of the Lord. She had true love for Jesus and His work. She depended upon God to supply her needs after she had given. The mystery of her sacrifice was well known. Jesus praised her for her faith, dedication, and self-denial. She denied herself of the necessity of food in which was her sustenance for living. Self-denial is the greatest sacrifice that children of God can give. Tithes and offerings are the smallest way of giving. The Pharisees and scribes paid tithes. However, they hated Jesus because of His teaching of self-denial. Jesus declared, St. Luke 18:11-12, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Jesus was emphatic to His disciples, St. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Someone must be a sacrifice for God. We dedicated Christians should always reverence God by taking heed and obeying His voice when He tells us to give a sacrifice. We should honor Jesus, through obedience, regardless of the sacrifice. Who knows, that may be the gift, wherein God will justify us and give us life eternal. Subsequently, God could save many souls. According to the scriptures, God blesses those who faithfully sacrifice themselves in obedience to Him. Let the Word of God illuminate our understanding as we read the Holy Scriptures. Paul said, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul asked the Roman Christians to dedicate themselves as a sacrificial offering to God. I will likewise endeavor to point out to you the blessedness of giving up your sinful life for Jesus, although we have not physically seen Him. Sometimes God requires us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice for fasting and praying for others that He might save them. God may require us also to give a financial offering, when we have very little, for the saving of souls. St. Mark 10:17-22, and when He was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to Him, and asked Him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus beholding him loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The young man was rich. He thought he was already good. These are the words that the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them, that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ezekiel understood, by the word of God, that the leaders of Israel had not obeyed him. Jesus Christ was searching for a dedicated man who was spiritual to make up the hedge, which is a means of protection for people. He is seeking for men and women to sacrifice themselves and stand in the gap with fasting, prayers, and monetary gifts, for the souls of humanity. Otherwise, God will destroy many in hell. As it was in Ezekiel's generation, so it is today. God cannot find enough ministers who will surrender themselves in complete obedience to him. Verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. We observe in that verse those prophets whom the people trusted as messengers of God, were conspirators against God. They were guilty in taking part in stealing the treasure and precious things of God. They devoured souls by deception. False ministers have deceived many people. The Lord continues to inform Ezekiel about sinful leaders. Verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Many false ministers are destroying souls by making merchandise of them for the temporal things of this world. That is why it is essential for God to use someone as a sacrifice to warn his people about deceivers. The devil deceived those who believe in false ministers. The Lord desires for us to have his wisdom to distinguish false ministers from true messengers of God. Jesus said, St. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. When false ministers come to deceive humanity, they will appear righteous and pious in every respect. Those deceivers, of whom the Lord is warning us, have on sheep's clothing. They appear to be humble. However, deceit and sin have filled their hearts. They are destructive to the souls of humanity. Jesus continues, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. According to that verse, we are able to discern false ministers because we understand the scriptures. They do not have the attributes of the Holy Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Paul proclaimed, Galatians 5:22-24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. God justified true ministers by the fruits of the Spirit. If they do not manifest the attributes of the Spirit of God, we should not accept their teachings. Jesus said, St. Matthew 7:19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire. That verse is exclusively to all false ministers and those whom they deceived. God shall cast them all into hell, because they refuse to obey Jesus' teachings. Bildad said, Job 8:13-15, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand, he shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. They may be attending a church edifice each service day. However, if they are following a minister who is not preaching against their sins, but is teaching them smooth things and telling them what they desire to hear, the Lord will cut off their hope of salvation. They will be sadly disappointed if they put their trust in a false minister. They will lean upon his false teaching, which shall not stand nor sustain them. False ministers appear to have integrity. However, their teachings shall be as a spider's web. They may hold fast, but false doctrine cannot endure. Obviously, there is a time in which the Lord will no longer warn by his true messengers. Jesus declared, St. Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Jesus was emphatic. Those who follow spiritually blind leaders will never know the truth. St. John 10:8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Jesus tells us that if we, his humble sheep, dedicate ourselves to him, false ministers, who are thieves and robbers, will not deceive us. We will not obey deceivers. Jesus continues, verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I have heard many voices preaching. However, Jesus spoke to me and said, these are the voices of Satan speaking through his false ministers." The only way we can escape false ministers is to know the voice of Jesus in his written word. We must know the Spirit of God who endows his people with wisdom and knowledge. Moreover, because there is a shortage of anointed ministers of God, the power of evil spirits prevails in the lives of unbelievers. The spirit of deception seduced them to do evil. The few men and women who sacrifice their lives are the manifestation of true Christians. Jesus said, St. John 9:5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Regardless of the spiritual wickedness in high places, Jesus' word illuminates the world with truth. The true dedicated saints will declare his word to each perishing generation. Therefore, they are without excuse. The Spirit of God is calling us to sacrifice our lives and give it to Jesus. He desires for us to obey him and get wisdom and power to deliver us from this evil generation. When the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we should humble ourselves and obey the divine call of God. He placed a call for many to repent who would not answer him in obedience. When the Lord called Moses, he responded to him through repentance and obedience. Exodus 3:2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush." The bush, which was burning, was literal. However, it symbolized the fiery trials in which God calls us to repentance. Peter proclaimed, 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Moses gave heed to the voice of the Lord. Exodus 3:4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." We should turn aside from our worldly way and listen to the voice of Jesus. When Moses turned aside, then the Lord called him. He answered him by saying, "Here am I." Moses was willing to sacrifice himself for the deliverance of the children of Israel. The Lord continued to talk with Moses. Verse 5, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." When God calls us to the ministry, we should put off our shoes, which are an analogy of our sins, and our inappropriate ideas and suggestions. According to the Word of God, the shoes represent the gospel. We should believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the standard for holiness in which God has ordained for all generations. Paul said, Ephesians 6:15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We cannot have our gospel. The gospel in which we preach must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be a minister of Jesus Christ, we must stand on holy ground, which is the highest standard in the Word, which God commands. 1 Peter 1:16, "Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Peter was proclaiming the truth and standard which God gave to Moses. Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, proclaimed to Peter that he sanctified himself. St. John 17:19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Peter loved the Lord's way of holiness. As a result, he repented, and the Lord miraculously saved him and made him a holy man of God. The Old and New Testaments are consistent. David repented and prayed to the Lord to wash his heart and spirit. Psalm 51:2, Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Jesus declared to Peter that washing his feet was essential for the saving of his soul. St. John 13:8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. When Jesus washed Peter's feet, he learned the truth. Unbelievers, who would not allow Jesus to wash them spiritually, will never be holy. Those whom Jesus has not washed, sanctified, and made holy, will not get eternal life. Jesus said, St. Matthew 25:41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Judas was a devil and did not repent. He symbolizes all unbelievers. Jesus will cast all sinners, who follow the pernicious ways of the devil, into hell. Jesus concluded, St. John 6:70-71, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.